greater. Take what's there, 'cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. This Week in Radical History for the week starting August 11th. Inspiration came from the Slingshot organizer, and more radical info can be found at the Daily Bleed website.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
This Week in Radical History, starting August 11th, 1894. Federal troops drive some 1,200 jobless workers from the nation's capital across the Potomac River. Led by an unemployed activist, Charles Hobo Kelly, the group came from western states and camped in Washington, D.C., beginning in early July. The soldiers of Kelly Hobo Army included young journalists named Jack London, whose works included what is considered to be the first book on modern dystopia, The Iron Heel. See, Traveler Kids, what fetching a train ride can lead to? Also for August 11, 1921, Alex Haley lives, Pulitzer Prize-winning author of Roots and the Autobiography of Malcolm X. Also on this date, 1965, large-scale race riots, which lasted 6 days in the Watts neighborhood of Los Angeles, California, occur. Before the riots subsided, 34 people had been killed, 1,032 injured, and 3,952 arrested, and over $200 million worth of property damage destroyed. It would stand as the worst riot in Los Angeles history until it was eclipsed by the Los Angeles riots in 1992. Lastly, on this date in radical history for 1994, during a radio voice test, acting President Ronald Reagan joked, "I have signed legislation that would outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes." Hee hee hee, those neocons sure know how to tell a good joke, don't they? This Week in Radical History for August 12, 1883 in France. The newspaper Black Flag begins publication in Lyons. However, the use of the Black Flag as a symbol goes back to as early as 1831, when French workers on strike in both Reims and Lyons adapted it as a signal their revolt against the misery and despair they are subjected to, emblematic of their sadness and their anger during their demands for social justice. In March 1882, Louisa Michel adopted the Black Flag so as to dissociate herself from authoritarian socialists and parliamentarians and remove any ambiguity about her anarchism. Then as recent as March 9th of 1883, during an unemployment workers' protest, Louisa is seen waving an old black underskirt fixed to a broom handle. Also on August 12, 1889, coal company guards kill 7, wound 40 miners trying to stop the scabs in Verdon, Illinois. Here's what Jack London had to say about scabs. Quote, "After God had finished the rattlesnakes, the toad, the vampire, he had some awful substance left which he made the scab. A scab is a two-legged animal with corkscrew sole, a waterlogged brain, a combination backbone of jelly and glue. When a scab comes down the street, men turn their backs, angels weep in heaven, and the devil shuts the gates of hell to keep them out. Judas was a gentleman compared to a scab. For betraying his master, he had character enough to hang himself. A scab has not." That's a quote from Jack London, author of The Iron Heel, making it very clear what he thinks about scabs. Also on August 12, 1936, 1st International Brigade of Volunteers arrive in Spain to fight the fascists. Also on that date, 1942, the first 292 inmates that are Japanese Americans, who are not quite so equal as their white equals, arrive at Heart Mountain Concentration Camp in Wyoming. A couple more items on this date for 1959. Little Rock, Arkansas responded to the federal court order with a token integration of two public schools. Six blacks in all were admitted. However, segregationist mobs still react violently. Also 1978, 40 arrested for scaling a fence at nuclear plant site in Sherham, Long Island, New York. Lastly on this date, 1982, 12 arrested to sea blockade the first Trident submarine in Hood Canal, Washington. This week in radical history for August 13, 1521, the last monarch of the Aztecs fights rooftop to rooftop before surrendering his starved and besieged city. Cortes receives him with honors, then later has him hung. The Spanish army has completed its march of death, meaning the destruction and massacre of the last Aztec city. Looting, raping, and debauchery befitting good Christians
follows.
Christianity wins over the heathenism and paganism once again. Thank you, Jesus. Also for August 13th, 1898. Considering making the Philippines our westernmost state in union, Admiral Dewey captures Manila. U.S. seizes control of the country for the next 50 years and throughout its effort for democratic self-rule. If you look at the record, it was the same propaganda and efforts like it happened in Iraq now. 55,000 dead in 1 year alone in the Philippines. And that was done the old-fashioned way, with boots on the ground and marine bayonets in the back. Now we have a much more modern and civilized approach called shock and awe. Also on August 13, 1956, the Grand Ronde Reservation in Oregon is terminated. Various tribes and bands from all parts of western Oregon removed from their lands in the mid-1800s and placed on this non-continuous reservation. Now, according to the 2000 census, with a little less than 16 square miles of land, it has a population of 55. Congratulations, United States. You've managed to commit genocide to this group, too. Lastly, on this date in 1966, South Vietnamese American puppet premier predicts, in two or three or even before, the communists will be defeated. Sounds all too familiar, doesn't it? I'm sorry, one more item for this day in radical history in 1971. Attorney General John Mitchell announces that there will be no grand jury investigation of the 4th of May 1970 Kent State murders by National Guard soldiers. Four American students killed by U.S. military in the United States. Who needs to look into that anyways? This week in radical history for August 14th, 1765. Stamp Act riots begin in Boston when new taxes are announced on English goods. The new tax collector's house was ransacked and he resigned the next day. Though tar and feathering people was a popular exploit in the British people, no one was teed up on this day. Speaking of taxation, on this date in 1846, author Henry David Thoreau jailed for not paying taxes to the government for what he called an illegal war in Mexico. Perhaps Thoreau should have tar and feathered the taxman. And why not keep this tradition alive if you don't like the Iraq War? No, I'm not saying tar and feather the next IRS agent you see. I would never say something like that. Also on August 14th, 1893... Economic depression leads to a violent anti-Chinese riot by unemployed white workers across California. Chinese workers suffer beatings and stabbings and are herded into railroad stations and loaded on trains. They bitterly refer to the violence and exclusion of them as being driven out. Of course, the Chinese are the Mexicans of our day. Also on this date in 1900, International Military Expedition occupies Beijing's and Lusa City as the Boxer Rebellion against foreign intruders is put down. The Americans participate, of course, to protect American interests. A couple more items for August 14th, 1970. White House aide Tom Houston writes to the top IRS office to see how the President Dick Nixon's plan to have agency move against leftist ideological movements was going along. Can anybody say audit? How about tar and feather? Also on this date in 1980, after 2 months of labor turmoil, 16,000 Polish workers seized the Lenin shipyards in Poland. Solidarity isn't a four-letter word. Also on this date in 2001, blacklisted and G8 protesters and performers remain detained in Italy. As quoted by the Italian internal minister, quote, a state must never lose the monopoly of use of force, unquote. Also in the year 2003, the largest blackout in history in the Northeast. Guess what? People came out of their homes and helped out one another with no reports of looting and no report of police presence needed. This week in radical history for August 15th, 1623 in Spain, male impersonator Catalina de Irazu is convicted of murder. She led a life of adventure and earned a reputation of her gambling, dueling, and purse snatching. Fought and won a number of duels, killing at least 7 people. In one fight, she stabbed 3 men to death. She avoids execution by revealing her sex, freed and given permission to wear men's clothing as the Pope absolves her of her sins. Also on August 15th, 1847, Volunteer U.S. Regiment Invading Northern Mexico Mutiny. Patriotic regiments from Virginia, Mississippi, and North Carolina rebel. Deserters during this popular land grab of Mexico totaled 5,331 regulars, 3,876 volunteers, and those who did not desert came back harder and harder to manage. They all saw that this was nothing more than land grab by President Polk. Also on this date in 1918, the U.S. called the actual sinking of the Lusitanian a monstrous act, claiming the Lusitanian carried an innocent cargo. Actually, the ship was heavily armed and it carried 1,248 cases of 3-inch shells, 4,927 boxes of cartridges, and more than 2,000 cases of small-arm ammunition. The manifest was falsified to hide the fact that the British and American government had lied about the cargo. What? The government never lies. Also in the state in 1935, humorist Roy Rogers dies in a plane crash. Here's a few quotes from him. There's no trick in being a humorist when you have the whole government working for you. And here's some short audio from his actual speaking engagements over 70 years ago.
Most unemployed and the hungriest man in America has contributed in some way to the wealth of every millionaire in America. It wasn't the working class that brought this condition on at all. It was the big boys themselves who thought that this financial drunk we were going through was going to last forever. They over-merged and over-capitalized and over everything else. That's the fix that we're in now. There's as much money in the country as there ever was. Only the fewer people have it, but it's there.
Another of Will Rogers' most famous quotes was, "I belong to no organized party. I am a Democrat."
When they bring in the platform, don't argue too much over it, because they ain't going to live by it nohow. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to live by it. It ain't going to ever be read anymore. Don't take it serious. I mean...
Two more items for August 15th, 1947. India Independence Day proclaimed in India and Pakistan. After 2 decades of nonviolent activism, India becomes the first major third-world country in the 20th century to win independence from colonial rule. Dozens of more colonies follow in the next 20 years. As the sun sets on the British Empire, dawn rises on the American.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you, when she's 10 feet tall. And if you go chasing rabbits, and you know you're going to fall.
Lastly, on August 15th, 1969, Temporary Autonomous Zone opens up at Woodstock Music and Art Fair. Over 40,000 people attended, most without tickets, prompting officials to say the festival was open and free. On stage came Jimi Hendrix, Santana, Sly and the Family Stone, The Guess Who, The Grateful Dead, Joan Baez, Janis Joplin, Joe Crocker, Canned Heat, Cosby, Stills and Nash and Young, Jefferson Airplane, among many others. Things that helped make Woodstock unique event included, but not limited to, rampant drug use, not enough food and sanitation, 3 deaths, 2 births, and 4 miscarriages. Oh yeah, and a lack of cops. Okay, we only have 3 items for August 16th and 1 for August 17th. Quickly, this day in radical history, August 16th. Remember that our military experts are always right, as in 1812, when an American attempt to invade and annex Canada fails before it begins, as General William Hull, reportedly frightened to the state of near incoherence, surrenders his entire army at Detroit without firing a shot to the lesser British and Indian forces. He'd be court-martialed 2 years later. So remember, whatever the military generals tell you, they are correct. Also on that date in 1921, the Times of London exposes the forgery of the anti-Semite document, The Protocols of the Elder of Zion, but that little old automaker, war profiteer, and anti-Semite Henry Ford continues to publish the protocols in 91 editions of his newspapers. Have you driven your Ford Nazi supporter car lately? Lastly, for August 16, 1988, San Francisco mayor starts to harass Food Not Bombs volunteers for daring to feed homeless people. This day in radical history for August 17th. Yep, oil companies are hardworking friends of the people. Like in 1931 when Ross Sterling ordered the National Guard into the East Texas oil fields and declared martial law in order to drive up the price of fuel. Yeah, nothing like that ever happens nowadays, does it? Oh, Iran shot off 4 missiles. Oh, there's a storm in the Gulf of Mexico maybe coming that way. Oh, a mouse farted in a refinery. Gotta raise that gas price.
Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, that's all that Bobby left me. But if feeling good was easy, loud when he sang the blues. Hey, feeling good was good enough for me. Mm-hmm. Good enough for me and my Bobby.
This has been This Week in Radical History, produced at the Glee Glee Studios. Inspiration for this weekly segment came from the Slingshot Organizer. Google the Slingshot Collective for more info. And more radical info can be found at the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website. Google the Daily Bleed for more radical info. In honor of the anniversary of Woodstock, I'll leave you now with Janis Joplin. And until next week, as always, I'm yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon. I can't, come on.